Death Spiral, the only anime podcast that still insists Ryuko Matui from Kill la Kill was inspired by Emilio Zapata. I am not going to go into that any further.
Yeah, no, it's pretty straightforward.
It's very straightforward. And obviously, the historical connection is right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. We are doing a shorty this week because, believe it or not, there are life events outside of anime that occasionally conflict with the anime.
I refuse to believe that. At the core of my being, I know it to be untrue, but I am just coming off of a major power outage that put me out of commission most of the beginning of this week. So I guess, you know, I guess I'll give you this one, liberals. You win this round.
The most horrifying thing that could possibly happen to somebody, a white man in America, a fucking power outage.
I didn't have lights. I didn't have an internet. How could I read or view my anime? Which is, of course, the only important thing out there. You expect me to, like, go outside and engage with my neighbors just because I can't look up my manga and read my anime online? Of course not. No, I'm going to sit in the dark and wait for the anime to come back.
Yeah, I just imagine you just watching water boil.
I mean, you're joking, but that is a depressingly accurate depiction of what I did with most of my time. I did boil a lot of water. Because I'm a smart guy, and despite health services and building code restrictions, I put gas lines in my home so that I could have a gas oven. And so guess what? I was the only person of my like group that lives around here that had access to a stove that could boil water. Everyone else has electric stoves like chumps.
Yeah, so in the power outage, you're the only one who could boil out the fluoride.
I was king amongst the dirt people. Listen, a lot's happened. I've changed. I'm a new person since I was before the power outage, okay?
Okay, well, that has nothing to do with manga, so...
Okay, all right, fine. Yes, yes, that's why we're here. Duh, I love manga.
We're here for the manga.
Right.
I read some manga, and I want to talk about it. Because, boy, it's been a little while. You'll remember I didn't get to anything last episode, so I've been sitting on a few. In fact, the Valentine's Day episode, I did have one in particular that I really wanted to talk about, but I didn't get to it, so I guess I'm just going to dump it here unceremoniously.
This is our catch-up section.
This is our catch-up. We'll just go through them. I read something that I wanted to talk about called Harem Royale.
Seems pretty straightforward. I think I can guess what this is about.
Can you? Do you want to throw out a guess really quick?
I do want to throw out some guesses. I'm real quick. I think that this is probably about some kind of listless weirdo pervert as the main character, and he has an ever-increasing harem, if you will, of beautiful women throwing themselves at him for indiscernible reasons, and they probably have to fight each other. Like, maybe they're doing like a battle royale thing, like they're gonna fight each other to see which one of them can marry this guy.
Oh, I'm sorry, you are thinking of 100 Girlfriends.
I thought that the girlfriends liked each other in that one, that they weren't fighting.
Yeah, I mean, they are fighting for his love and affection, but they're not physically fighting.
No, I'm talking about like physical like battles, and maybe the girlfriends have like different powers or something, but I'm getting off track.
We all know you like Tenchi. We understand. You've done it so many times. This is very much unlike Tenchi in basically every way.
Okay, all right. It's not Tenchi.
The setup that we are led to believe at the beginning, and this is the fun part, is basically that a young boy who's, you know, hard up in the Chunibyo department, finds like a magic lamp basically, and like a demon comes out, and the demon's like, hey, you saved me from the magic lamp, I'm gonna do something for you now. What do you like? And he's like, well, I like fantasizing about girls in my class. And she's like, I'm gonna make your life a fun harem rom-com.
And then it's just a regular rom-com manga after that?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Oh. It becomes a horrifying death game. Of course it does. It's me. Why do you think I read this?
I should have guessed. I should have known this was going to be a death game. All right. What's the catch? What's the gimmick?
That setup is only the prologue chapter. Chapter one begins with a girl sitting in class when all of a sudden reality melts away and she is confronted with a demon who explains to her that if she doesn't go along with the death harem game that she is about to inflict on six girls in the high school, she will be thrown into the deepest pits of hell, which she then proceeds to simulate in really disturbing degree of verisimilitude for the girl, instilling in her a deep, deep trauma that will carry her through the next 17 chapters of this horrifying manga.
Wow.
Our girl very quickly meets the other girls who have been put in this predicament. And they all decide they would rather not go to hell. So they decide to participate with the demon.
Okay.
The demon is going to have them play a death harem game where whoever the Chunibyo boy decides to date at the end of the game will be the final survivor.
The final girl.
The others will all die and go to hell for eternity.
Jesus.
Yep.
And how does he feel about being put in that situation? Is he, like, into all this?
He does not know about anything. One of the rules for survival is they are not allowed to reveal that they are playing a death game.
But...
Which is what makes this very fun for me.
But he does know that he wished for like, a harem rom-com life. Is he aware of that part?
What he knows is that the demon, who appears to him as like a cutesy mascot character, mm-hmm. but appears to them as like an actual fucking demon. She goes like, hey, I'm making your life fun. Isn't it great that like all these girls have crushes on you now? Meanwhile, these girls do not have crushes on him. In fact, they are very, very much, when he is not around, disgusted and horrified by him and this entire scenario.
Understandable.
Yeah, the manga revolves around the quote-unquote smart girl formulating plans so that they don't have to murder each other to get through these games. So the manga kind of boils down to the girls fighting against the demon while also trying to keep the boy from realizing what's happening. This is the dark underbelly of all harem manga that I really like. This is sort of the thing that I find... like peeling the skin off a harem manga, right?
Yeah, no. I was just thinking as you were describing this, I'm like, okay, this is very much a like direct reaction to this type of male romantic power fantasy, right?
Exactly. The constant question in all these harem manga is like, why would these girls possibly fawn over this dope? Right.
As someone who reads a lot of real shitty harem mangas, that is like the number one trait. It's part of the formula, you know. The main dude has to be some kind of loser, pervert, weirdo, otaku, whatever. That is categorically unfuckable and unattractive. To any, you know, sane-minded person.
Yeah, it's that. So, essentially, this is the event horizon of harem manga,
uh-huh.
right? Event horizon asks the question, how do all these, like, sci-fi movies justify, like, traveling to other galaxies and stuff? How does that even work, right? And the answer turns out to be, you go through hell. You literally go through hell. And this manga posits... how do we answer the unsolvable mystery of, like, why would girls fall in love with a dope and all these harem manga and flock to him? And the answer is they are being compelled by forces beyond reason.
Yeah. They are literally being compelled by demons who want to kill them.
Yes. So I really like this manga. And, of course, you know, it's a tight story. It's 17 chapters. I really like it all the way through the end. I appreciate... how close it sticks to its premise.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I really don't like is, and this is probably just one of those things where it's like, we have to do this or, you know, our audience will probably turn on us. But all the girls like soften up on the boy when they start realizing that he doesn't know what's happening.
Okay.
Which I, you know, I didn't need. I didn't need, but I don't think it hurts the manga very much.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, is this guy, like, actually a dick? Like, because that is the case in a lot of these others. Like, the guy is not usually not a good person.
He is not a good person. But he's not a bad person either. His whole deal is that he has resigned himself to being a loser for the rest of his life. But he doesn't mind because he has chosen to live in basically a fantasy world of his own construction. So all these girls that get caught in this thing are girls that he fantasizes about vividly, right?
Mm-hmm.
In his imagination, he gets with all of these girls. And that's why they're all drawn into it, which is the reason actually that he kind of snaps out of it at some point, which is kind of interesting, is that he's like, wait, this is something that's only possible in my imagination. So this something else must be going on. Just like, okay, good for you, buddy. This is a really tight one. This is a great death game. This is a great subversion of the harem stuff. It asks questions about harem manga that is interesting. It's 17 chapters. It's a breeze to read. The art's pretty good. The writing's pretty good. I like this one a lot.
Dope.
Yeah, moving on. We're blazing through these. I have one more that I just started that I want to talk about. It's called Galaxias. Galaxias? Galaxias.
Galaxias.
Galaxias. Galaxias?
Galaxias.
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 This just started. I think this might be a jump. It's a interesting, weird shonen about a girl who decides to explore the world, which is teeming with dragon people.
All right.
But not the kind of dragon people that you are envisioning.
Oh.
They are, in fact, just regular people who happen to manifest massive weird tails that all have, like, different effects.
Okay. No, that's pretty much, that's closer than farther than, you know, to what I was imagining. I assume that they would also maybe have, like horns or something.
Nope, no horns.
Okay. All right. Well, tails I can live with.
The boy that she travels with, of course, has amnesia.
Classic.
And of course is one of the strongest boys ever.
Oh, of duh.
And of course has a quest that happens to align with hers. And mm-hmm. So they set off on an adventure together. It's a very straightforward shonen setup.
Does he have red hair?
Well, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe he has red hair. I imagine him as a brunette.
Okay.
I guess you could look up a color page if you want.
I'm looking at a color page, and he's got kind of like strawberry blonde going on.
It's main character hair.
Yeah. All right.
This is a very standard shonen. It borrows a little bit from One Piece in that there is like a notorious world explorer who is the enemy of the world government, and that's who they're trying to find because the girl finds out that's her real dad, right? Very standard setup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What makes this really unique, I think, is that the artwork is incredibly charming and the writing is extremely fun and compelling in a way that, like, most shonen just aren't. It has no aspirations towards, like, you know, grim, dark loser shit. It just wants to be, like, a very fun, weird adventure with powers, guys.
And dudes with big tails.
Yeah. And a focus on just exploring a very strange world, kind of like a dungeon meshy style, except it's not a dungeon, it's a world. But they travel from place to place, and all the places are really unique and interesting. And I really like the way that they build it out in a way that I usually, you know, I usually don't like that stuff. I think sure. I've said that before, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that vibe, it's kind of like, you know, Hell's Paradise, speaking of Yuji Kaku earlier.
Yes.
Kind of the same thing with exploring the weird Chinese fantasy island kind of setting.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it when stuff does that, you know, getting deep into the setting as a character.
Yeah, and much like Jigoku Aku, Hell's Paradise, they don't spend a lot of time giving you like dossiers on each location. They just show you, hey, this is a fucking weird thing, because this girl has been living on a little tiny island, Wind Waker style, and has never left, right? And so the sure. entire world is strange to her, so by extension it is strange to us. I just think this one is in a big crop of like new shonen. They're all struggling to be born as the old guard dies, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one is really cute and charming in a way that all these other ones just aren't. You know, like I said a few, when was that? Maybe a month ago when we went over the entire Shonen lineup, mm-hmm. Shonen Jump lineup.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, not a lot of winners there. Most of them turned out to be like parodies, which I, you know, I'm not exactly super hot on. So this really is, as far as like the new Shonen crop, I really think this might be the one.
Yeah, this is the one to keep an eye on.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could have come up with a better title. I am not jazzed on Galaxias. Just going to say.
Yeah. You know, the latest chapter, the one that just came out, drops the word Galaxias for the first time. There is no mention of anything Galaxias. It's not even like space themed, so galaxy is not implied there. It's just a bad title.
Yeah.
They should have called it Dragon Guys.
Oh, yeah, or Tail Fighters.
Tail Fighters, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else you got?
I like that one. In that vein, in the manga that is like charming and fun and dropping like flies, unfortunately, because like we've talked about before, Shonen Jump basically has no confidence in anything it is publishing, right?
No, everything gets canceled or it's a ripoff of one of the bigger names. You know what? Kagurabachi is kind of like what they were lining up to be the next big star. And that's getting an anime, but I haven't heard any, like, you know, a big amount of buzz around it. Nothing compared to their big headliner stuff, like your One Pieces or Bleaches or Boruto's dad.
Yeah, Kagurabachi, and I said this, I think, when we talked about it initially, is that it is fun, but ultimately has very little flavor of its own. You know, it's borrowing heavily from the FBI, Magic FBI trend.
Mm-hmm. But with a sword guy.
The sword guys, it's got enchanted swords, and the Magic FBI is trying to get all the enchanted swords. That's sort of the story where we're at right now. At the beginning, there was like a charming story about how he rescues an immortal orphan from being experimented on. But that got dropped really fast.
Well, you know, they were probably afraid to get really into the moral implications of that kind of storyline and tone. They're not trying to make another Fire Punch here.
Yeah, but, you know, she's like a cute character who's endearing, and then she's just never mentioned again. Seems like something you wouldn't want to do.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't poll well, and some higher up editor said, "Yeah, cut her."
Maybe. Who knows?
Probably with a big cigar and like a glass of whiskey in his hand. Like, get her out of there.
You know, I guess you have to do it because these guys will cut you in a second. If there is any doubt, they will cut your ass.
They'll slice it.
It's like Thanksgiving turkey. Slice you up.
That ain't cranberry sauce.
And in that vein, that brings me to what I wanted to talk about. Because I read a lot of manga, as I've mentioned many times. So inevitably, I read a lot of canceled manga. And I don't know if you come across this a lot. It constantly has me thinking, like, we sit here and we talk into microphones and we try to recommend you people, like, good stuff to read. And I always get conflicted about recommending stuff that is just dead. Like, just drops unceremoniously.
I understand. I know where you're going with this. I just want to interject real quick and say, I am not trying to recommend people good stuff. I read trash, and I am recommending trash. I want to be very clear about that.
Okay, we split the duties. Yeah. You do that, I will recommend the good stuff.
Okay,
that's fine.
You can have that can of worms. You know, that's a responsibility. I don't want to get into the legality, the liability of making those claims. I just want to feed people their slop. It's what they want.
I think that's a nice division of labor right there.
Okay.
Then again, you know, I just recommended a bunch of shonen, so I don't know.
All right, go on.
But that's my thrust, is like, I have stuff that I genuinely really like that is just, it doesn't even do the thing where, like, in Apisims, which I love, that's the Nihei Tsutomu manga that wrapped up a little while ago before he started Tower Dungeon. That one, like, got pretty far, and then somebody was like, hey, you're about to get canceled, and you need to wrap it up, right? So we have that flavor of it, where the mangaka just rushes to the end because they don't want to just drop it.
Sure.
And then you have other stories where it just stops, right?
It just stops.
Yeah, those are the ones I have a harder time thinking about recommending to people, because isn't that like heartbreaking at worst and incredibly annoying at best?
I mean, I think it depends on why it just stopped. Like, did it get dropped by a translator group? Did it get just straight up canceled? And there's going to be no more chapters in the magazine it appeared in. Did the creator just drop dead at their desk?
Jesus Christ. I'm talking about stuff that gets canceled.
Okay.
But, you know, it could be all of those reasons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The point being, there's no more. Because I've read quite a few where this happens. You know, very recently, Dear Anemone came out. And that was by one of the assistants, actually, of Yuji Kaku, who was working on Hell's Paradise, and actually did assistance on Chainsaw Man as well. Pretty cool, right? Seems like a pretty good pedigree.
Fujimoto's assistants are like little spores that have just spread out all over the manga scene right now. They're everywhere.
Yeah, he seems to be fairly supportive. And so it's very heartbreaking to me that Dear Anemone, which I was really enjoying, got straight up shit canned. How many chapters did it make? It made 17 chapters and then 8.
Oh, that's even worse. That's like 2 volumes worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's 2 tankobons that you can buy in a store and then just get, just never see another volume come out.
Yep. And guess what? It stops in the middle of a climactic battle.
Dope.
That's the end. It's so insane.
Well, I'm wondering if a lot of people who don't read manga but watch a lot of anime are going to start feeling that with a lot of these like major like shonen productions based off of really long running manga, like your Chainsaw Man or Jujutsu Kaisen. I don't think those anime with the budget and like the time that the production houses have to make those, they're never gonna make it to the end of a 250 chapter long story. It's never gonna happen.
It seems incredibly unlikely. I'm not even thinking of Chainsaw Man or Jujutsu, because those are genuinely the like modern juggernauts. I think there is a pretty good chance we're gonna get them. I'm thinking more of kind of the smaller stuff that, like, you know, slowly drops off in popularity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Spy Family, but because the manga has been running out of steam, I'm really afraid that after this next season, maybe we just won't get any more.
They'll just quietly cancel, stop ordering episodes of the next arc.
Yeah, the mangaka has come out and said like they're really struggling to like put out new chapters.
I'm more concerned for like smaller art house studios that are getting not big name contracts but well-known stuff. I'm gonna be surprised if we ever see an actual end to Dungeon Meshi with Trigger animating it, you know.
Sure.
Or God, Dandadan is reaching close to 200 episodes. You think Sayonsaru is going to do all that?
Yeah, I do not see them ever getting to the end of Dandadan.
Which is a shame.
You know, in the same vein, One Punch Man will never end. They will never reach the end of One Punch Man or ever even catch up to the manga, like for sure.
No. One Punch Man just released its 196th chapter, and I think the second season of the anime ended on like chapter 30 or 40 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
We still don't have One Punch Man season 3, which they told us they were working on. So yeah, it's an awful feeling with both manga and anime of just never getting to the end.
Anime, definitely. I think people have mostly resigned themselves to that because it happens so often. And frankly, I think a lot of people would prefer it to like what happened with, you know, Tokyo Ghoul, for example, where it just, like One Punch Man season 2, like the quality just nosedives and people just end up hating what actually comes out.
I mean, in terms of anime, I think the worst thing would be doing like a Full Metal Alchemist and reaching like where the anime catches up and then they have to make up stuff that's really bad to fill in the gap and then go back and remake the whole thing again 10 years later.
Yes. They did that with Hunter x Hunter as well.
Mm-hmm.
They do the quote-unquote more faithful adaptation,
the Coke classic.
Yeah. There are definitely a few anime that I feel this, and that is kind of the fun inverse of the problem. Like, you know, Tomodachi Game hit, you know, its final chapters and it wrapped up pretty successfully, but they only made one season of the anime. If you are just an anime fan, that was not popular enough to even get to a season two. And that did end a huge cliffhanger as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think anime fans hit this problem all the time.
Oh, for sure.
But at least when people order a season of anime, that is a complete arc.
For the most part, you know.
Sometimes they do the cliffhanger. But like in manga, like I just said about Dear Anemone, it'll just stop. Which I think personally I find much more frustrating.
It would have been really funny to end the episode on the word stop just there. I just want to point out.
Bye.
Yeah.
This happened to me. I read another manga called Rokudo Rounds. You ever heard of this?
No. I feel like I've heard the word Rokudo in a title before, but I'm probably thinking of something else.
Yeah, I have no idea what Rokudo means. One of the characters at some point in Rokudo Rounds explains Rokudo and then immediately says, I explained it wrong. So I have no clue. Rokudo Rounds got to chapter 16. The entire manga is centered around a tournament arc.
Mm-hmm.
It is one long tournament arc. And so you can imagine stopping in the middle or even the first round of a tournament arc is incredibly frustrating. This one really bummed me out because, yet again, like Dear Anemone, really, really beautiful art, really interesting, beautiful artwork, a solid premise that, you know, a tournament arc is fine, whatever, but like a tournament arc has built-in hooks.
Sure.
It's never not going to be compelling because it's a tournament arc. Everybody knows how to do a tournament arc. It's not hard. It's kind of manga on easy mode.
Yeah, all the steps are laid out for you.
Yeah.
All the clues were there, Mr. Detective.
Yeah.
Mr. Mangaka.
And it had very charming characters and, like, clear potential to go the distance. And yet, immediately shit-canned. 16 chapters, man. Come on with this.
Damn. I mean, something similar happened with that Jujutsu manga that I read a while back, Teppu.
Yeah.
You remember we talking about that? Mm-hmm. They also got unceremoniously canceled at around 30 chapters, but they were able to finish out their tournament arc, and that's kind of where they ended things on. So
yeah.
They got let down easy. Getting canceled right in the middle of one. That's rough.
It's so brutal. I really liked Rokudo Rounds. And so that brings me back to the thing where, like, I think Dear Anemone and Rokudo Rounds are both worth reading. And they're also very lightweight because they only made it 16, 17 chapters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're never going to have a satisfying conclusion. It's done. So are you willing to put hours into something that will never conclude? I don't know. I am, but I think I'm an outlier because I read so much stuff.
I think you are definitely an outlier in this case. I think most people would find it hard to recommend something that they know has an incomplete and, you know, dissatisfying ending. I don't know. It depends on how good you think the body of the work makes up for the lack of ending. Right.
Well, that's why I stress the artwork, because I think if you divorce the story stuff and you just go, hey, there are like really, really pretty pictures, you know, flip through this thing, you'll see there's very pretty pictures you can look at. I feel like at least that would be compelling, you know?
Well, I mean, which is worse, in like an amazing, good, written, compelling story that ends unceremoniously with no ending, or one that was given a rushed, like, half job of an ending? Like, which is worse?
I really don't know. I think for me, I prefer the kind of rushed ending so I can at least see what the intention was. You know what I mean?
I think most people would agree with you on that one. Yeah. So I think I would definitely recommend something with a bad, like, rushed ending over something that has no ending. Definitely.
Yeah, I definitely feel better recommending Apocyms, even though it does have that, like, bad rushed ending that makes no sense. But at least you know, what he was going for over something like Rokudo Rounds, where it's just like, peace. But this is the danger, and this is a nice transition here. This is the danger of starting a manga very early in its life. I know as a filthy gaijin, we don't often get the opportunity to do that. You know, now that we have simulcasts and these like shonen apps and stuff, we have a lot more opportunity to like start on a chapter one.
Let me tell you, back in my day, I had to flip around cable TV channels at 11 at night, hoping that maybe something good would come on Adult Swim or the AZN International Channel. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, all these kids these days, they've got all the anime in the world, all the manga at their fingertips, and it's rotting their brains.
It's destroying them. Convenience will destroy us all. Back in my day, if you wanted to read a manga, you would go to, like, Japantown, and you would just buy something untranslated. So just to have it.
Listen, back in my day, if you wanted to read a manga, you would go unwashed and stinking of that day's gym activities to the Borders downtown and stand and try and rip the little plastic covering off the volumes and hope none of the employees would come kick you out.
But they would come kick you out, because they knew every single time. You just had to count on like getting the teen that didn't care at all.
Oh, you mean all of them?
It was a good day when you got that one guy.
Only narcs care about shoplifting.
I've worked retail. I know the narcs, man. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's the manager.
Well, all managers are narcs.
All managers are narcs. A-M-A-N-N.
A-man.
A-man. But now we have the opportunity to boot up Shonen Jump Plus and see what's new. This is a danger because when you start reading something on chapter one that only has maybe three chapters out, you're playing the dangerous game. Will it even make it to chapter four? I don't know.
I mean, as for my fishing Gyaru manga that I was very excited about, that didn't even make it past chapter two. I was very disappointed.
Brutal. That's so brutal.
I know.
Well, I started reading something that just started. It's got three chapters out because one of my favorite mangaka started a new series. Boichi, the mangaka behind Dr. Stone, for example, or if you're a little deeper into the lore, Hotel. Everyone's heard of that one, right?
I have not heard of Hotel, but it's from the guy that did Dr. Stone.
Yeah. He also did Origin, which is fucking awesome. Origin is so good. Origin rules. He'd also did Sunken Rock, which I think is actually one of the more popular ones he did, which is like a gritty crime story.
Sunken Rock.
I really like Boichi because he has a very, very unique art style. He also did an official Fire Fist Ace side story for the big One Piece collection of like guest mangaka.
Oh, nice.
And that one is the best one, like by far. Mm-hmm, it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's called Ace's Story, the manga.
I'm still not sure what it's about.
Well, it's Ace's story. Everybody knows Ace. You know Ace, right?
Okay, but is it in manga form?
It is in manga form. I know that's hard to believe because One Piece is a manga, so you'd think, well, surely they'd want to branch out. Maybe this is another musical.
Oh, man, I bet that One Piece musical is fire.
It's probably pretty good. I can't imagine they wouldn't put budget into it.
Do you think they have, like, a big ship set like they use on Pirates of Penzance? They totally should.
I'm sure the whole set is decorated like a ship, right?
You can wheel it around the stage. Oh, man, that sounds so kick-ass.
It'd be pretty good. I wonder if they ever do a touring show that we could go see.
All right. We're getting off topic here.
Yeah, let's go through this. Anyway, the point being, Boichi started a new series. It's called Martial King.
I saw that. I saw that flipping through the Shueisha front page the other day.
Yeah, yeah. And I find it hilarious because, and this is my third topic here that I wanted to burn through, It is one of these manga that is set in Japan, America. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's my favorite version of America.
Yeah.
Where we have a thriving street food culture and not a car-based economy.
And we have so many private academies with cute little student outfits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of those. Well, I actually, you know, I did go to like a private middle school where we had to wear like uniforms.
That horrifying. Did happen to me. I shudder at the thought. You weird little Catholic cult thing. Well, this one is set in the Old West.
Sure.
And that is where it is. It's not like Arizona or New Mexico or Nevada. It is Old West.
It may as well be taking place on the Trigun planet.
Exactly. It basically is.
Mm-hmm.
But it is clearly America because they say America a bunch of times.
Hey, this is America.
It's America. And this one is about, and this is the other part of the Japan America. This is about the son of the greatest outlaw. Because again, everything has to be about hereditary rule. Right.
Yeah. Familial bloodlines, destiny,
exactly.
Passed down from father to son or parent to child.
Yep. So the strongest outlaw spawns the strongest outlaw son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who, obviously, by the title, you understand, wants to become the strongest marshal.
Wait. Hold on. Outlaws are against the marshals.
Yeah. Can you believe that? He's switching sides. What a rascal.
So the greatest outlaw in the West, the Old West, his son grows up to be a narc, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's really disappointing.
Oh, man, that sucks.
But we don't know. It's only three chapters. We don't know his motive yet. It might be something cool.
Okay.
But the strongest outlaw is obviously, he gives birth to the strongest outlaw's son.
Is anybody called, like, their name the kid? There's got to be a kid, right?
Nope, not yet.
Go!
And this is what I mean. It's set in the Old West, but it is Japan, America. So none of the actual, like, Western stuff is real. They don't really do any Western stuff. For example, the kid who wants to become a marshal immediately enrolls in the elite Marshal Academy, where all the strongest marshal children learn how to become good marshals. Instead of, you know, in regular Westerns, it's just the one guy in town who owns a gun and is not as drunk as everyone else.
And he's allowed to deputize people, too. So it's usually that guy and, like, a gaggle of hayseed moonshiners that he's deputized, yeah. Right?
Some drunken posse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Where are the drunken posse classes at this school?
And the lone hero usually has no background. He's a mysterious character.
Well, he's a Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he's a Clint Eastwood. Or, you know, a John Wayne. Who I constantly say, Toshiro Mifune is the Japanese John Wayne. Just to get off topic for a second.
No, that's true. And Kurosawa is the Japanese John Ford.
I think so. I really think so. Or maybe Sam Peckinpah. Maybe a combination of them.
I don't think that John Ford had like a very super introspective late in life phase where he like made films pondering human existence, though.
You should watch some of the catalog. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
There's some fucking, there's bangers in that catalog, dude.
Okay.
Anyway, the point being, the Japan-America thing is something that I've always really loved and been frustrated by. Mainly because when they do Japan-America, and this happens, you know, when there's cross-cultural stuff, which I don't want to say I don't like. I do like cross-cultural stuff. But when they do Japan-America, it really highlights all the weird cultural things that cling to manga about, you know, Japanese culture. It highlights them in a way that sometimes makes them so ridiculous that it's hard to take seriously. For example, the outlaw son immediately going to an elite private academy where he has to wear a cutesy little uniform. And like there's a big mix of like classmates that have all the different, you know, Japanese classmate personalities. You know, the honor student girl who takes an interest in him, even though he's a goof off. The quiet guy who like projects power, even though he's like kind of mysterious and weird loner. The hot-headed classmate who's 7 feet tall for some reason and refuses to accept the outlaw kid because good marshals are all about killing outlaws.
None of these are kids that I want to go to a school where they teach you how to shoot guns at people.
That is the other thing, too, is when guns come into play in manga at any time, they immediately become extremely ridiculous. Because, as we all know, guns in manga
are a superpower.
Are a superpower, or they're just swords.
Yeah.
Guns are swords.
Yeah, like Romeo plus Juliet.
Yes, exactly. So, like, these kids, like, learn gunmanship, but nothing that is actual gunmanship. For example, what is the first rule of marksmanship, Nate?
Keep your eye on your target. Wait, no, check your safety. Wait, no, I know this one.
You're close.
You don't point it at something that you don't intend to kill.
Exactly. Exactly. That is the first thing any gun owner knows. And this is not a thing in manga. One of the first things all these kids do is point their guns at each other.
They're just pointing their guns at each other.
They're just pointing their guns. And it's done recreationally, too.
It's like Homer Simpson shooting the TV to turn it off.
Yes, exactly. He's opening beers with it. This is what they do immediately in this manga, is they immediately start pointing their guns at each other to, quote unquote, measure their speed, which they have a device at the school to measure a quick draw.
Oh my God.
Of course they do. This shit is really ridiculous. And it just had me thinking about how funny it is whenever they do America in manga, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about one of the other Shonen Jump that came out recently called Smother Me, that is set in modern day Detroit.
Oh no.
Except modern day Detroit is an open air slave market that is ruled over by roving gangs of super bandits.
So it is just like modern day Detroit.
it's even worse than like RoboCop, man. It is fucking insane. It's like, hey, Detroit is like a regular place.
No, didn't they hear Detroit's bougie now in some places? It got gentrified.
Yeah, you know, Detroit's not that far from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And
that's why they call them the Twin Cities, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there are parts of Chicago that are much worse than parts of Detroit. That's all I'll say.
Well, a couple episodes we were just talking about Gunsmith Cats, right? Which takes place in dystopian 80s Chicago.
Dystopian Chicago. There's also one of Yuji Kako's, this is what we were talking about before the show, one of Yuji Kako's earlier manga called Phantasma brings up the other thing that I really hate, which is the Japanese depiction of the mafia. Just truly awful.
Well, I mean, JoJo aside, because that was barely, that JoJo has no bearing within reality, I don't think.
JoJo is JoJo. JoJo yeah. Will always be its own thing, completely separate from any sort of reality.
The Japanese conception in manga of the mafia seems to spring mostly where it's like it's a diluted and remixed version of just like a collection of pop culture, Western pop culture tropes about the mafia that all come directly from The Godfather, either the movie or the book, which the author has said that he like mostly made up, you know.
Well, they end up being reskinned Yakuza a lot of the time, if that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's not like we should trust like manga's depiction of what the Yakuza is like either.
No, I don't. I don't at all. I think honestly, the depiction of mafia or Yakuza as like anything related to an honorable culture or mm-hmm. any of that shit, like code of ethics, is something that is so disgusting and stupid that I really have a hard time putting it like past me when I'm reading stuff.
In my experience, the most accurate depiction of organized crime that I've seen in anime or manga is in Odd Taxi, where it's literally a bunch of greasy dudes who just sit around most of the day thinking up ways to scam people, including like honeypot trap, like honey trap honeypot.
Honeypots.
honey trap scams,
phone scams,
predatory loans, all that stuff. Pachinko parlors, which is, I think, in real life, probably the Yakuza is very similar to the Mafia in that way, which is just, they're just greasy dudes that are trying to find ways to, like, get money out of you.
Yeah, they're vicious shitheads, you know, who are mostly just stupid and evil. Like, that is organized crime, right?
Yeah.
But they're constantly being depicted as something more than that, or even specifically softer than that, which I just find stomach turning. For example, I read recently another gambling death game called Akma Game.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible name, because it's supposed to be Akuma Game, but they translated it as Akma Game.
That's dumb.
It's very dumb. It also, the manga has some of the most confused and frustrating politics of anything I've ever read. The writer seems to be, you know, his heart's in the right place, but like has genuinely never thought about his own beliefs about the world. For example, the main character is a good-hearted billionaire hereditary son of a mega corporation who loves all of his employees equally. Cool.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, he's one of the good ones.
Hey, he's one of the good parasite class.
What a cool fucking CEO that he knows the names of some of his employees and they're all really loyal to him.
That's very reminiscent of last season's Trillionaire Game. Do you remember seeing trailer for that one where it's about two scrappy dudes besties who just want to make the world's best dang old company, don't you know?
Yep. I really hate that shit. And there's all kinds of stuff like the billionaire at one point essentially mobilizes his private military to stop a social protest against a fascist government. But that is posed as a good thing.
Let's just be clear. Anybody who has a private army is not a good person.
Not a good person.
Yeah.
Also, part of that private army is an Italian mafia cell that has come to Japan and basically befriended the billionaire. And it's being led by, again, a little hereditary child who has, you know, inherited the bloodline of the mafia.
Why do they think any of those dudes would let a little tiny child come in and be their new boss?
They would just shoot and kill him.
Yeah, there's just like, Don Vito, you know, his son is he just died and his son's only 12. Like, do we just kill the, we just kill him, right? We just kill the wife and kid.
Just get rid of the kid.
Yeah, we'll pick a new one.
Or like, who gives a fuck? Get him out of here. We don't need this kid.
Let the kid retire.
In The Godfather, you know, Al Pacino becomes the Don because they butcher Sonny Corleone at a fucking traffic stop. It's crazy. Anyway, they're all fucking bad people. But in the manga, they portray the mafia as, again, a series of misunderstood toughs, you know?
Sure.
And the kid has a good heart. You know, he's doing good because he wants to save his dad from like an evil organization or whatever.
Sure, he's like Ryu. He's only in the life to pay for that orphanage, you know?
It's all bullshit. It's all Japan America stuff. I was trying to think of any other examples. There's some really funny ones out there that I was thinking about.
I would
love
to see a manga adaptation or an anime adaptation of The Wire.
Fuck. An anime Omar would kick so much fucking ass. Oh my god. It would be like Ghost Dog Street Samurai, you know?
Hell yeah. Force, hell throwing the Force Whitaker eye.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Okay, anyway, unless you have one that you particularly like, I think we should...
I've got some stuff that I do want to talk about, but I can save for next episode. So these are all canceled, you said?
Everything is canceled. Manga doesn't exist anymore. Shonen Jump has officially ended manga.
With the Sony acquisition of Kadokawa, the word has come down from higher up. Manga is over. It's done. Go home. There will be no Comiket this winter, and all incoming tourist flights from America have been postponed.
Which is probably good, because I've been hearing about this measles outbreak. Man, this country sucks shit, man. Holy shit. Okay, anyway.
Oh, no.
Handsome and beautiful listeners, I'm so glad you joined us for a quickie. round back.
More like reach
we'll
around.
We'll do some actual stuff. We'll do some actual stuff next time. Read some good manga. Read some of these things. Read some canceled manga. Support authors for their next work if they don't decide to quit the industry like some of my favorite mangaka have. Mm-hmm. Just decided to bounce out of the entire pursuit, which frankly, good for them.
Good for them.
The rest of these guys, who boy, they got a lot of punishment in their future. Okay, follow the accounts, spread the podcast, tell people to listen.
Please, please do.
See you next week.
All right. Bye. Don't get to clap as much as you get to snap as an adult.